Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is the show for Tuesday, August the 16th. We are going to begin the book of Vayikra, and that means called in Hebrew, and it's otherwise called in the Latin, Leviticus, because it has to do with the Levitical priesthood primarily, not entirely, not all of it, but it gives the laws for the Aharonic priests, but also in this book are many national laws for Israel that still stand for health, sexual behavior, proper conduct toward each other, business dealings, conduct toward visiting Israelites from other countries called sojourners, conduct toward aliens of other races in Israel. They had to deal with them. Holy days and feasts, food laws and sacrificial laws. Now, we in Christian Identity realize that there are no more blood sacrifices for the propitiation of sin. That's covering over of sin. That has been fulfilled by Yeshua Messiah. He was the last and perfect sacrifice. We don't need animal sacrifice to cover over sin anymore. But the other laws in this book that don't have to do with sin sacrifice still stand. And they are all common sense laws. Heaven and earth have not passed away yet. So the Torah still stands except for the sacrifice. That is finished, completed. Because the Torah is a foreshadowing of what is to come. So, there are a lot of words that are unclear today as to the type of unclean animals and birds and such, and the meaning has been lost. We don't really know. When we reach that word, I will give it in the Hebrew and say we don't know what it means. I don't insert opinions as to what it might mean. Really, they do that in the KJV, but I don't really think that's proper to do that. So I won't follow their lead on it. They have made so many errors, I don't want to get into their mindset. They use the term leprosy in this book in connection with fabric and houses. This was a mold or mildew that was unhealthy to be around, like toxic black mold is today, and would cause severe health problems from breathing in the spores. And as they had no other term to use back then, they termed it leprosy for want of a better word. But it is not leprosy. It is a mold or mildew. Leprosy concerning people, if it's actual leprosy, is flesh destroying and incurable. And even today, with the drugs they've got, It's a horror to cure. It's just terrible. A lot of the terms leprosy in the KJV refer to some type of skin disease instead of actual flesh-eating leprosy. And then they didn't have methods of curing skin diseases, and they didn't want it to be communicable and spread through the community, so they would call them unclean and separated the people from the other people. This is common sense. So everything in Scripture really is common sense. His laws that he gave for us all have to do with our well-being, because he cares about us. And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing that he loves us that much. So we will get into chapter 1. Let me get a hit of water here. And wet the whistle. This is Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. And this is where it gets its name from, Vayikra. It's the first word in the book. Vayikra el Moshe, Vayedaber Yahweh Elohev me'ohel moed lemor. That's the Hebrew. Vayikra starts it out. Called Yahweh to Moshe and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, that's what it translates to, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any Adam of you brings an offering to Yahweh, now he's referring to the children of Israel as Adamic people. Plain, simple, right there, right up front, he starts out with that. You shall bring your offering from the beasts of the herd, 1, 2, 4, 1, and of the flock, 6, 6, 2, 9. These are clean animals. Cattle, sheep, and goats. Verse 3. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice, 59:30, of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. That's one word. 8, 5, 4, 9. Without blemish. And they always had to be tamid. They had to be perfect animals for Yahweh. He didn't bring anything that was crippled or cut or had a boil or no blemish. He shall bring it for acceptance, 7522, to the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh. That's where Yahweh abode among Israel, was in the tent of meeting, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the Kippureth with the cherubim, and the pillar of cloud where he spoke with Moshe. That's where they had to bring it. Verse 4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted, 7521, for him to make propitiation, 3722, for him. It would cover over his sins. That's how they did it back then. We don't have to do that now. We have Yeshua Messiah that has covered over our sins. Verse 5, and he shall slaughter, 7, 8, 1, 9, the calf. Now the calf is composed of 11, 21, ben, and 1, 2, 4, 1, bakar, means son of the herd. But it translates into English in the short form, calf. In other words, it's a young beast from the herd. In the presence of Yahweh, and the priests, the sons of Aharon, shall bring the blood, 18:18, and sprinkle, 2, 5, 3, 6, the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tent of meeting. They would sprinkle the blood there, that because it was a blood sacrifice. Verse 6, and he shall flay, 6, 5, 8, 4, the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. Verse 7, and the sons of Aharon the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Verse 8, and the priests, sons of Aharon, shall lay the pieces, the head, 7, 2, 1, 8, and the fat, 6, 3, 0, 9, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Verse 9, but its inner organs, 7, 1, 30, and its lower legs, 3, 7, 6, 7, he shall wash, 7, 3, 6, 4, in water. And the priest shall burn. Now this is 6, 9, 9, 9, burn, which concerns the burning of incense only. He shall burn all on the altar, a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire. That's one word. Offering made by fire is number 801 in the Hebrew. That's one word. Of a pleasing odor, 7381, to Yahweh. An offering made by fire is ishe, and a pleasing odor is reyach nikoach. Okay? That reyach is 7381, and nikoach is 5207. Verse 10, and if his offering be of the flocks of the young sheep, 3775, or of the young goats, 5795, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male, 2145, without blemish. Tamid. Okay. Always had to be without blemish. Verse 11, and he shall slaughter it on the north side of the altar before Yahweh. And the priests, sons of Aharon, shall sprinkle its blood round about upon the altar. Verse 12, and he shall cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, just like they did before with the other. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Verse 13, but he shall wash the inner organs and the lower legs with water, And the priest shall bring all and burn upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a pleasing odor to Yahweh. They repeat this a lot. That's very repetitive. Verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to Yahweh be of birds, these are clean birds that you can eat, 5775. Then shall he bring an offering of turtle doves, 8449, or of young pigeons, 3123. We hunt pigeons and turtle doves today out in the country where they're all corn fed. Dove hunting is a big sport, and pigeons are excellent. These are not city pigeons that are all nasty. These are country pigeons that are nice and clean. Verse 15, and the priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off 4454 its head, the same way you do with a chicken. You just grab it by the head and you spin it, and the head comes off. And burn it on the altar, and the blood of it shall be wrung out 4680 at the side of the altar. You turn it upside down and you squeeze it, and all the blood comes out of it, because you don't burn the blood, and you don't eat the blood. You don't eat blood from anything. Like blood pudding, people used to make blood pudding. We don't eat that in Christian Identity. It is unclean. It is forbidden. Verse 16. And he shall remove, 5493, its crop, 4760, with its feathers, 5133, and cast it beside the altar on the east part, 6924, by the place of the ashes, 1880, because they were going to be carried out later. Verse 17, and he shall split, 8156, he shall split it with the wings, 3671, of it, but shall not separate, 914, it. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a pleasing odor to Yahweh. And you see here, they took off the inner parts and the feathers of the bird. And if you have ever smelled burning feathers, you will understand why they didn't burn the feathers. That would not be a pleasing odor to Yahweh or anyone else. That is really a rank smell when the feathers are burning. Boy. Ooh. This carries over for all blood sacrifices without blemish. Yeshua Messiah was without blemish, as was required, and was the Passover lamb for Israel, covering over our sins for all time, because we had been in such apostasy that grace was extended at Calvary for a one-time shot, that if we accept him and proclaim him as our Redeemer, Yahweh in the flesh, because he had to manifest himself as a man in order to die, and had to be holy man as far as physical attributes, so we could suffer pain and death, but his spirit was the Holy Spirit, which descended on him like a dove. It is very complicated. Yeshua was holy God. He's completely divine being, yet he was in the flesh of a man, and he possessed the Holy Spirit. Yahweh is not a Trinity. He is one being, but he has different manifestations, like the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, the burning bush, all the ways he showed himself to us and his power without totally being in one spot, which would destroy this world because sin is present. We can't have Yahweh here because we are sinful. And it would destroy us. We would die if he completely manifested here. And he knows this. He knows this. He does not want to destroy us. So he manifests himself in different manners. Someday, when we are no longer imperfect and we are without sin, after Yeshua comes and the temptation and all sin is removed and we are changed into our new bodies, we can be in the presence. But right now, we cannot. But Yeshua is coming back. All the signs are pointing to it. Too many things are happening now that have never happened in the past. Everything happening at once. There have been earthquakes, there have been fires, there have been plagues, there have been famines, there have been this and that, but never all at once. Isolated incidents, maybe two or three things. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We have been at war here in the United States constantly for a long time. We're always fighting somebody because it is big business. And the enemy wants to kill us off, we of Israel. Therefore, he sends the best of the best, our young men and women, over to die. The adversary wants them dead. And our leaders in politics go along with this because they get a piece of the action, so to speak. Kickbacks, money. It's all about money. Follow the money. It's disgusting, really. But such is the nature of the adversary and his physical children. And we all know who they are. Let's get into chapter 2 here. These are short chapters and quick reads, but there's a lot of things that still stand, and I will comment on them when they come up. But the sacrificial offerings for the remission of sin, as I have said, no longer stand. They've been fulfilled. Now, there are other sacrifices not for the remission of sin. There are grain offerings and gift offerings, offerings of well-being, goodwill offerings, just in honor to give glory to Yahweh. We don't have a physical building temple right now. The temple is within us, and we are to keep that temple pure, and by our actions in our life, we are to give glory to Yahweh. every day by how we live our life, being obedient to His commands. When the new temple descends with New Jerusalem, I'm not going to say this for sure, but I'm going to offer an opinion, which I very rarely do. I believe the goodwill and the glory offerings will resume, but not blood sacrifice offerings for the remission of sin. That's done. But praising Him and giving glory offerings, grain offerings, yes. No more animal slaughtering. But the offering of incense and grain offerings, and that, perhaps that will resume. There are two schools of thought on that. Because Yahshua did away with the Levitical priesthood because they had been polluted by the Edomites, I don't know whether we have any pure sons of Aharon. They had brought in their Babylonian Talmud and were teaching it as doctrine, so He took it away from them and put the priesthood in the order of Melchizedek, known as Melchizedek, but it's Melchizedek. Melchi is king, Zedek is righteousness, and the king of righteousness is Yahshua, and He is to be our king. So I really don't know what's going to occur, in all honesty, when the new temple comes down and when our Master returns. They may resume the grain offerings. I don't know. He may appoint people to do that in honor to Yahweh. He may not. It is unclear. And I will state that it is unclear. I'm saying they may resume the grain offerings because that is not a blood sacrifice, because a blood sacrifice no longer is necessary. Food for thought, you know, something to ponder on. We can debate it until the cows come home, but we won't really know, will we, until He comes back. And I hope He comes back soon, because it's getting ugly out there. A lot of violence and hatred. And our people are beginning to really be seriously persecuted and even killed. We've had several lately that have been opponents to the system, and they die. So Mr. Thorne was one of them. Big opponent to the system, and the truth will out someday, but not while these evil people are in power. Let's get into chapter 2 here. Pardon me, something went down the wrong pipe, and it's morning. So, start with verse 1. And when anyone brings a grain offering, that's grain is 4503, and offering is 7133, to Yahweh, his offering shall be of fine flour, 5560, that is pure wheat flour, whole wheat flour, not bleached, not modified, not tampered with at all. And he shall pour oil, 8081, meaning olive oil, pure olive oil, upon it, and put frankincense, 3828, on it. That is a good smelling stuff. Verse 2, and he shall bring it to the sons of Aharon the priests, and he shall take from his abundance 4393 a handful 7062 of the flour of it and of the oil of it with all the frankincense of it, and the priest shall burn the memorial portion, that's 2, 3, 4, of it upon the altar, an offering made by fire of a pleasing odor to Yahweh, because they were going to burn the grain. Have you ever smelled roasted grain? Oh, it smells good. And then you've got the pure olive oil, which makes it burn well. And the frankincense that will be burning, which is a lovely smell. Verse 3, and the remnant, 3, 4, 9, 8, of the grain offering shall be in italics. It's not in the Hebrew, it's in italics to set it apart. Shall be Aharon's and his sons. It is in italics. That's not, it's just a connection in English. A thing most holy. That is 6944 doubled. Okay. Kodesh Kadashim. 6944 of the offering made by fire of Yahweh. 4, and if you bring an offering of a grain offering baked in the oven, 8574, it shall be, again in italics, cakes, 2471 of matzot, 4682, that is unleavened bread, of fine flour mixed, 1101, with oil, or unleavened wafers, 7550, those are like crackers, anointed, 4886, with oil. Verse 5. And if your offering is a grain offering, and baked is here in italics, because it's not exactly in the Hebrew, but it is implied, in a pan, 4227, like a baking pan. So baked is implied by the use of pan. It shall be, again in italics, an English connection, of fine flour mixed with oil, matzot, unleavened bread. 6, crumble, 6626, it in pieces, 6595, and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. They would crumble the unleavened bread and pour pure olive oil on it. Verse 7. And if your offering is a grain offering, again, baked in italics. It's not in the Hebrew, but it's implied. In the frying pan, 4802. It shall be made of fine flour with oil. Again, whole flour. Ground fine. Nothing removed, nothing tampered, nothing processed. Verse 8. And you shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to Yahweh. And when it is presented, 7126, to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. And the priest shall lift up, that's 7311, 7311, from the grain offering a memorial portion of it, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a pleasing odor to Yahweh. Another repetition of that. Verse 10, and the remnant of the grain offering shall be, again in italics, Aharon's and his sons. It is, again in italics, a thing most holy of the offering made by fire to Yahweh. The Levites, the Lewium, did not have an inheritance in Israel. They had no big portion of land like the other tribes. Yahweh was their portion. Now, they were full-time priests, 24/7. They had to maintain the temple and keep the lamps burning and keep it clean and do all kinds of stuff. So they had no time to do anything else to make a living. And Yahweh provided for the sons of Aharon from certain offerings that they would eat. They had to have something to eat. And he provided from the gifts and offerings of the money a place for them to live. They had to have a place to live. They were full-time. They were not part-time like most of your ministers are out there today. You have paid pastors out there in a lot of the Judeo-Christian churches. But again, they are full-time. They don't do anything else. And they go visit the sick and prisoners and do all sorts of things. Even though they're Judeo-Christians, they're following some of the rules. But they get money over and above, and a lot of them are quite wealthy. So, you know, there's a shadow of the law there, but they're not following the whole law. They're making the churches into a business and only putting the appearance of following the law, but in reality they are not. Verse 10, and the remnant of the grain offering, again in italics, shall be Aharon's and his son. It is a thing most holy of the offering made by fire to Yahweh. Verse 11, no grain offering which you shall bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven. 2557. Now, there are several terms for leaven. Here, again, it is chametz. And when they speak of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, no leaven shall be in your houses. You are to search and purge your dwellings of chametz. Any crumbs or anything in the cupboards. If you have toothpaste, some of the toothpaste has leaven in it. You have to throw that out and buy new after the feast is over. You can search on the internet for products that are leavened. There's a whole big, even some soap has leavening. All kinds of stuff. You have to be very careful if you're going to be completely obedient. I do it every year. I mean, I clean house, vacuum and wash, and I take it very seriously. I really do. Since Yahweh has sent the Holy Spirit to me, and I have realized that Yeshua is my Redeemer, I do everything I can, and that's all I can. I can't make anybody else do anything. I only have control over my own self and my life, and I try very hard to be obedient. Not because I'm going to impress someone with how righteous I am, because I am not righteous. Nobody is righteous. But just because He said to do these things. And I love Yahweh. He loves me and shows me that constantly. How can I not love Him? So I want to obey Him. By the Spirit, I really want to do these things. It's not for people. It's not even for myself. It's for Him. I believe His word. And if you truly believe, you will act on it. I have repented of my life before. And when you repent, you turn 180 degrees in the opposite direction and stop doing the things that you used to do. And I've done that. And I'm still a sinner. I have impure thoughts. Things slip out. You know, only one was perfect, and that was our Messiah. But He wants a conscientious effort on our part. That's what He wants. Bulls and goats being slaughtered didn't cut it. So He sent the perfect sacrifice to us. And I have recognized that. And proclaimed Yeshua as the Redeemer of Israel and my Redeemer. And I just can't do the things that I did before. My spirit won't allow me to do that. I don't know how it is for other people, but I know how it is for me. And it is very, very powerful. Get back to verse 11. No grain offering which you shall bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey, 1706, in any offering made by fire to Yahweh. If you ever smelled burning sugar, it's nasty. And honey has natural sugar in it. And it's got a nasty smell to it when you burn it. He forbids it. That's enough. Verse 12. The offering of the first fruits, 7225, shall you bring to Yahweh, but they shall not be turned to smoke, 5927, on the altar for a pleasing odor. In other words, 5927 is to send up, to ascend. And literally it would be, they shall not be turned to that which ascends on the altar for a pleasing odor. Well, what ascends off the altar if you're burning something? Smoke does. So it would translate in English for understanding to smoke. Verse 13, and every offering of your grain offering shall you season 4414 with salt. 4417. Neither shall you allow the salt of the covenant of Elohecha, 430, to cease, 7673, from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. It's a covenant of salt forever. It was binding. When you had broke bread and had salt with somebody and made a covenant with them, it was a great offense to break that covenant. Well, we have a covenant with Yahweh. So he wants salt with his offering on the grain offering. Verse 14. And if you offer a grain offering of your first fruits, 1061, different than the 7225. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to Yahweh, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits ripe grain, that's 24, ripe grain, dried 7033 by fire. They would put it in containers with air flowing through it and roast it over the fire to dry it out. Beaten grain 1643 from ripe kernels. 3759. That's the threshing floor. They would beat the grain on it and then throw the stalks and stuff elsewhere. But all the grain would be out on a big mat on the threshing floor. The kernels of the grain would come out. And they had that separate, and then they would put that in containers. And the first fruits of the crop of the year you brought to Yahweh, the offering of the first fruits. The first stuff that got ripe. Verse 15. And you shall put oil upon it and put frankincense upon it. It is a grain offering. Verse 16. And the priest shall burn the memorial portion of it, the handful that he took out of it, of the beaten wheat of it. That's very specific as to what grain they're talking about. Okay. Askarat Migresha, 1643, and part of the oil of it, Umishamin, with all the frankincense of it, Alkol Labonata, it is an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Ishe, number 801, La Yahweh. This is the afternoon offering. It's called a gift offering, usually. Mincha. And it was very special. And was a gift, usually called a gift offering to Yahweh. Let's see, I've got over 10 minutes, and there's only 17 verses in chapter 3, and I can get that done. Chapter 3, verse 1. If he slaughters 2077 for well-being, 8002, and offering, 7133, if he offers of the herd, whether it is a male or a female, 5347 on female, 2145 on male, he shall bring it without blemish before Yahweh. Verse 2, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and slaughter it at the door of the tent of meeting, and shall sprinkle the sons of Aharon the priest the blood upon the altar round about. That's what they call a peace offering. Shalomim, from shalom, peace. But it's an offering of well-being. That's what it's known as in the Hebrew. Verse 3, and shall offer of the slaughtering of well-being an offering made by fire to Yahweh, the fat that covers the inner organs and all the fat that is on the inner organs. Verse 4, and the two kidneys, 3, 6, 2, 9, and the fat that is on them, which is by the loins, 3, 6, 8, 9, and the lobes, 3, 5, 0, 8, above the liver, 3, 5, 1, 6, with the kidneys, he shall take it away, 5, 4, 9, 3, and shall burn it, the sons of Aharon, upon the altar as a burnt sacrifice, upon the wood that is on the fire, an offering made by fire of a pleasing odor to Yahweh. Verse 6, and if of the flock is his slaughtering of well-being to Yahweh, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. Again. Verse 7, if he offers a lamb, 3775, for his offering, then he shall bring it before Yahweh. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and slaughter it before the tent of meeting, and the sons of Aharon shall sprinkle the blood of it round about upon the altar. Verse 9, and he shall offer of the slaughtering for well-being an offering made by fire to Yahweh, the fat of it, the whole rump, 4451, he shall take off close to the backbone, 6096, and the fat that covers the inner organs, and all the fat that is on the inner organs, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the loins, and the lobes above the liver with the kidneys he shall take away, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of offering made by fire to Yahweh. Verse 12, and if his offering is a female goat, 5795, then he shall bring it before Yahweh. And he shall lay his hand upon its head and slaughter it before the tent of meeting, and the sons of Aharon shall sprinkle the blood of it round about upon the altar. Verse 14, and shall offer it of his offering, an offering made by fire to Yahweh, the fat that covers the inner organs, and all the fat that is on the inner organs. Verse 15, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the loins and the lobes above the liver, with the kidneys he shall take away. Verse 16, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of offering made by fire for a pleasing odor. All the fat is Yahweh's. We are not to eat the fat. First of all, it's not good for us. Second of all, it is for Yahweh. That'll come up again later. All the fat is Yahweh's. And it would also burn well. Fat burns. Verse 17, a perpetual 5769 statute 2708 for your posterity, 1755, the generations, Dorotecum, throughout all your dwellings, 4186, that you eat neither fat nor blood. That's very clear. We are not to eat the fat or the blood. Here it is stated as a commandment. And that commandment still stands. That is not a sacrificial offering for sin. It was a gift offering. It's not for the remission of sins. And we are commanded clearly in verse 17 not to eat the fat. You trim the fat from the meat. The butchers do that. All of chapter 3, except verse 17, is sacrificial law. Not blood sacrifice for the remission of sins, but still sacrificial law. There are no more Aharonic priests. There's no temple. There's no altar. Verse 17 is a standing food law. That verse still stands. Fat is not good for us. Causes cholesterol problems and problems, clogged arteries. All of Yahweh's food laws are for our health benefit. He loves His children, that being us, we being Israel. So, that takes care of chapter 1, 2, and 3. Leviticus has short chapters. Sometimes, just a few quick read verses. It's a guideline when they give the food laws, and the rest of it is a historical perspective for us. We are ignorant of our history in many, many ways. And we need to catch up on that. This tells how it was in the early days. This is pre-temple. They had the traveling tabernacle, the tent of meeting, that they hauled all over. But they did this everywhere they camped. These laws that they were giving them were for the future when they would build a temple. Times have changed. The blood sacrifice is done away with. Praise Yahweh. But these historical facts need to be taught so we know where we came from. So that about wraps up, the first three chapters of Leviticus. And I'll get into chapter 4, etc. tomorrow. I'll say Shalom Aleichem. And may Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal Master leads against the foe.